Thank you. Thank you to WIPO for inviting me here today to speak to this standing committee about the business of webcasting. I hope that in the time allotted that I can provide you with a better understanding of the market opportunity in webcasting, the state of the industry, and the legal, business, and economic issues that affect its growth. I also aim to dispel many of the myths about webcasting and to give you a better sense, particularly of the role of webcasting in the global music business. If there's one message that I hope you will take away from this presentation, it is this. A growing and competitive marketplace for internet radio brings substantial benefits to copyright owners. Webcasters are legitimate businesses that have invested millions of dollars to produce and deliver programming. We operate entirely within legal boundaries and compensate rights holders for use of their works. Webcasters require and deserve legal protection and a level playing field for the significant investments being made in our own services that bring the many substantial benefits to copyright owners. By way of background, I'm here on behalf of Yahoo, the leading global online media business. Yahoo operates 25 properties and is available in 13 languages. My responsibility is to manage Yahoo's global music business. Our global music business focuses on helping our users to find music they like and to discover new music. Yahoo delivers internet radio and music video programming to over 9 million people per month, who are streaming each month over 15 million hours of music and music videos. Yahoo has invested millions of dollars in creating state-of-the-art production studios and in purchasing and maintaining our vast collection of streaming audio and video servers and other related infrastructure, including several hundred thousand CDs and music videos. Yahoo's media services also employ hundreds of people worldwide. I'd like to begin by addressing a simple but threshold question. What is webcasting? In the context of music, webcasting is simply the expansion and evolution of the music media business in the digital world. Specifically, what we call webcasting in the music business is merely the offering of improved radio and music video experiences to consumers and more effective music marketing channels for artists and composers. As you will see for consumers, this means discovering more of the music you like and hearing less of what you don't. For content owners, it means new and growing sources of royalty payments, as well as broader exposure for an expanded set of repertoire. On that last point, the internet makes it economically viable to reach a substantial audience for types of music that otherwise would not find significant support in localized broadcasting. In order to fully understand how music media evolves online, it's useful to step back and examine the music media business generally. Let's start by looking at how music consumers experience music. At any particular time, a music consumer seeks to enjoy music in one of two ways, either on demand or programmed. In the first instance, a consumer may want to hear a particular song at a specific time and to turn to his CD collection or an on-demand music service to satisfy that objective. Music retailers and distributors have built businesses around getting music to consumers to enjoy at the time and in the order of their choosing. On the other hand, a consumer may simply be interested in listening to a variety of music he likes with the hope of discovering new music in the process. This desire has traditionally been fulfilled by radio and, to a lesser extent, music television such as MTV. These traditional media businesses aggregate music consumers around programmed music offerings and generate revenue either from subscribers or from advertisers seeking to reach that audience. Music media businesses benefit from the fact that the music audience is comprised largely of the valuable young demographic that major brand advertisers covet. Music media businesses play a critical role in the livelihoods of artists, composers, and performers. Such businesses provide the direct, tangible benefit of paying royalties to content owners and creators for use of their repertoire. In addition, and perhaps more importantly, These media businesses serve as critical marketing and promotional channels for recorded music to reach a potential audience. It is indisputable that airplay on radio, television, and internet webcasting are primary drivers of recorded music sales. The growth of the internet and of technologies to support the streaming of quality audio and video to internet users has created significant new opportunities for music media. Yahoo alone has built a substantial audience of listeners to its internet radio offering and viewers of its music videos site. Early internet radio offerings focused on retransmitting or simulcasting terrestrial signals over the web. Those offerings did not harness the benefits of the internet as a medium, and while achieving mild popularity, did not sufficiently incentivize listeners of terrestrial radio to shift to internet radio. While the internet presents a compelling opportunity for building music media businesses along the lines of traditional media business models, it must be embraced as more than just a pipe through which to completely mimic existing product offerings. The power of the internet is to better tailor radio offerings to listeners based on their tastes and to avoid the inherent limitations of traditional programmed broadcast stations. This is one key competitive advantage of internet radio over terrestrial radio, which is particularly important at a time when internet radio can still only be experienced on a PC or certain internet-connected consumer electronic devices. The ability to give consumers a better listening experience by channeling consumer feedback into an increasingly smart radio service is the key to getting listeners to switch their listening online. Yahoo accomplishes this in two ways on our internet radio service called LaunchCast. First, we offer a wide variety of professionally programmed stations around music genres or themes such as one-hit wonders. Second, we allow users to express preferences about songs, albums, and artists that they like. Our service learns from these preferences and plays music that the listener is more likely to like, based in large part on the fact that other listeners with similar preferences also like that song. This type of smart radio improves the music discovery process and keeps consumers listening more and providing valuable real-time feedback about new music. This information is valuable to the recording companies and helps them market music more efficiently. The similarity of the webcasting business model to the broadcasting model is undeniable and most clearly visible in the fact that webcasters compete with traditional broadcasters for the same listeners and the same advertisers. We both deliver programming and advertising to a large and substantially similar audience. That being said, the economics of our respective businesses can and do differ in certain respects. For example, no terrestrial broadcaster is capable of reaching as broad a geographic audience as internet radio. From a cost and reach perspective, in order to reach their maximum geographic audience, terrestrial broadcasters must make all of their investments up front, and the number of channels that broadcasters can offer is limited. By contrast, the reach of internet radio is as potentially broad as the internet itself, as internet radio services can continually add servers to reach a wider audience. This requires incremental investment in both the servers themselves and the marginal bandwidth cost associated with adding listeners to the service. These are incremental costs that broadcast radio does not incur. However, these costs can readily be supported by the revenues obtained through broadening the audience and economies of scale. And the cost of equipment and bandwidth historically has been declining over time. Radio businesses, whether online or offline, require access to all catalogs of music, as consumers do not know or care which record company markets and distributes a particular artist's music. Internet media services all pay royalties to owners of sound recordings and compositions, notwithstanding the fact that some rights holders have sought higher fees from webcasters than from broadcasters, despite the identical business models. An important side note is that in the United States, despite the fact that internet radio competes directly with terrestrial radio for listeners and advertisers, there is no requirement that terrestrial broadcasters pay any royalty to owners of the sound recording. Sound recording rights can be licensed in most cases directly from record companies or in certain countries through sound recording collecting societies. To date, many national sound recording collecting societies have not yet determined with their membership whether the right to license internet transmissions has been assigned to the collecting society. And then, depending on the country, one must determine whether such assignment of rights renders the collecting society an exclusive or non-exclusive licensor. In the absence of collective rights management, webcasters are faced with higher transaction costs associated with executing multiple licenses and the possibility of not having access to all necessary repertoire. In the United States, the existence of a statutory license for the performance of sound recordings in internet radio services has made it easier and safer for providers of such services to make the requisite investments necessary to get their services to market. As a result, many companies offer internet radio in the U.S., ranging from companies the size of Yahoo, AOL, and Microsoft, to startup webcasters offering stations from single computer servers. Composition performance rights are administered by national collecting societies. As an industry, webcasters have consistently experienced attempts by those entities to set royalty rates for webcasters above rates charged to terrestrial, cable, and satellite broadcasters. Our collective hope is that this stems merely from a lack of clear understanding about the close similarities in business models and direct competition that exists between webcasters and broadcasters. Clearly, for webcasters to thrive in the marketplace, they must compete on a level playing field where possible. While the inherent differences in technology between webcasting and broadcasting create inevitable cost imbalances, no justification exists from a licensing perspective to discriminate between such similar business models when setting royalty rates. Equal treatment would allow webcasters to viably compete with broadcasters and to justify the significant investments being made in the business. As I've already mentioned, success for webcasters in this regard translates directly into success for copyright owners. Another issue faced by webcasters in this area is the uncertainty of calculating license fees based on the country in which a stream is received rather than the country of origin. Although proposed bilateral agreements have sought to address the need for global licensing, the hurdle remains for global webcasters that the difficulty in determining where a stream is heard and reconciling disparate royalty rates makes business planning extremely complex and uncertain. There is significant demand for internet radio services throughout the world. In fact, there are already thousands of internet radio services operating in scores of countries around the world. Since developing our internet radio service at Yahoo, we have attracted almost 20% of our audience from outside of the United States. These are music consumers who seek to experience and discover new music in ways not yet available in their home countries. Serving an international audience with a U.S. offering is not, however, our objective. Yahoo intends to develop other localized versions of our internet radio services in order to aggregate local audiences who will be attractive to local advertisers. Internet radio has developed more rapidly within the United States. This is due in large part to the creation of a statutory sound recording license for internet radio services and the availability of public performance licenses through performing rights societies. While debate continues about the scope of the statutory license, there is at least greater certainty and ease in obtaining the necessary rights to offer such a service. Outside of the U.S., there unfortunately has been a slower movement by content owners to offer economically viable licenses to internet radio providers. As I mentioned, I believe this has much to do with confusion and misunderstanding about the internet and its role in music media and marketing. Another impediment to more rapid development of Yahoo's international internet media services is the need for more uniform international rights and methods of enforcement. In the United States, Yahoo and other internet audio and video services have experienced attempts to pirate and repackage our signals. Thus far, we have been able to address such piracy through technological methods of protection and legal enforcement. Robust legal enforcement tools, such as the Treaty Against Signal Piracy that this committee will discuss this week, is an important cornerstone for the development of local internet media companies serving the cultures of many nations to the world. Increasing broadband access to the internet is an important initiative for many parties around the globe. While existing compression technologies for audio and video allow for quality experiences over lower bandwidth connections, particularly with audio, the availability of broadband access certainly improves the user experience significantly. Many consumers view the ability to get better music experiences as a compelling reason to upgrade their connections to broadband. Even with broadband connections, a drawback of today's internet radio, particularly in relation to terrestrial radio, is that it is not portable. A lot of radio listening occurs outside the home or office. As next generation wireless technology is better able to support full streaming of audio and then video, we expect to offer our internet radio experience over cell phones and other personal digital devices. Imagine being able to receive a radio station that appeals to your tastes anywhere you may travel. This is the power of internet radio. As I have stated several times this morning, internet radio competes directly with terrestrial radio for listeners and for advertising dollars. The development of a robust market for internet radio offerings would create more entities that pay copyright royalties and a greater number of more effective marketing channels for recorded music to reach its desired audience. Recognizing the benefits of this industry and its many parallels to more traditional forms of broadcasting, I strongly encourage you to extend the same protections afforded those traditional broadcasters to those of us now operating similar businesses online. Such protection would promote the continued substantial investments being made in offering internet radio globally and attracting listeners to these new services. Thank you again for inviting me here and for the opportunity to speak to you today. And as Seth mentioned, I will take questions part of the group.